die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.
Nou, ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited. Want, jy weet wat, ons is tydens die maand van Mei. Gesels ons met gaste. En een van die redes vir die gesprekke is, ons wil mense wat enige tyd, enige dag kan besluit, hulle kan nou hulle tasse pak en gaan. En hulle kan baie suksesvol oorsee wees met 'n loopbaan van hulle, wat hulle doen. Maar toch kies hulle om in Suid-Afrika te brei, maar van nou eers, ek wil vir jou sê, hierdie gaan interessant wees. Firstly, Barry, can you hear us this morning?
I can hear you perfectly.
How is the cousin doing?
The cousin's great, actually. I'm fantastic. Thank you very much.
See, can
living
I just,
in South Africa, I'm great.
Can I just say that I've got a little bit of goosebumps from the tips of my fingers to the tips of my toes when I just heard that voice, Barry, because that's like South African in audio form.
Listen, well, thank you. Barry, I want to start off with, are you actually Jeremy Clarkson, but just give us the truth now, Barry.
Okay, I'm not Jeremy Clarkson.
Barry?
But, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not Jeremy Clarkson, but he is my fatter brother.
Does he know this?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Listen, it's I just spoke earlier now. Barry, we're going to get to that a little bit later. Just the way that you tell jokes and so on. And we asked the people earlier to tell us how many jokes do they think has ever been told in this world. But we're going to get to that now. I don't want to get to it now. Because I want to get to your career earlier. Because you started off, is it true that you started working off as an electrician?
I did. I hated every second of it. My father insisted that I became an electrician. Yeah. And I wanted to be an actor, but my father said, it's not a nice profession to be an actor because actors generally get in relationships with actors of the same sex. But my father was a bricklayer, so he didn't say it so nicely like that.
Yeah, and are you? But at least now you're sparking laughter wherever you go. See what I did there, buddy?
I'll try my best. It's fun, and I am very blessed. I'm lucky I can get on stage and just talk nonsense and have fun with it.
Yeah.
That's the best part for me, because people ask me what's my show about, and I said I'll tell you when I get on stage, because I don't really sort of do it off the cuff type thing. I have a lot of material that I can pop in and change, and I can readjust it and move this around and X, Y, and Z. But I'm so blessed that I can do this. You know, I'm because I'm dyslexic. You know.
Really?
Yes. The mat on my front door actually says Malcolm.
That is very confusing to your security company, Barry. I don't want to even know how many times someone's called and said, listen, this guy's in my house.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I've actually got a talk that I do now outlining all the troubles I've had in my life and how I used humor to beat it, you know. So there we go.
That sounds great. I would love to attend that. But listen, before we get to all that, I wanna get to the, how did the whole my cousin thing, how did that all start?
I can't remember people's names. Yes, I can't remember people's names. And I would be friendly with somebody, and somebody else would say, who's this guy? And I would say, shit, I don't know, it's my cousin. My cousin. Shit, but I don't know. And that's how it started. And when I went to Joburg to start my sort of career, I worked in this place, and it just happened to be a lot of people on the East Rand who, funny enough, called each other my cousin. So I just sort of adopted it, and then I was just known as the cousin. So it's sort of, I didn't sit down one day and plan it. It just happened.
Yeah, and it's become such a thing. I mean, you are as proudly South African, and not even born South African, right?
No, I'm born in Zimbabwe.
How's that? And I mean, if because when we had this talk, when we discussed on who we're going to talk to when it comes to, you know, proudly South African and so on, the, one of the first names that came up, and that's probably because of the jokes of Ons Gaan Nou Braai, and that's probably the reason why we selected you to talk, because you've become so... Say again, sorry?
I am honored. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah. When did you come to South Africa, Barry?
Oh, man. When I was two, we came to South Africa. My father was, he was in the construction, so he moved around a lot. In fact, my dad used to get fan mail from gypsies.
Yeah.
So then we went to the UK until I was 13, and I came back here. And then I've been basically here ever since, except for going backwards and forwards to the UK to work, and I've been to America and all of these places. But it's just something about Africa, South Africa, that brings you back. We know we've got troubles. We know we have this. We know that. But we know what they are. And we can handle them, you know. So I just think it's the best place in the whole world to live. Still,
absolutely.
I love it. The people there are friendly. You know, if you go overseas and you sort of greet somebody in the street, it's almost like, hey, what do you want? You know?
Yeah.
Here, I can be at a traffic light and some poor chap that's out of work or whatever that is asking for money recognizes me and says, they'll say, like, hey, my cousin, you don't have to give me money. You've already made my day. And I go like, how? And they say, because, just say that for me, please. And I say, my cousin. Like, oh, thanks. Have a great day. So, I'm very blessed. Petrol pump attendants always say to me, your monkey stole my Savannah. In fact, how's this? They always quote one, it's dark in here. And that was a Savannah advert that I actually wasn't even in. But they quote, so I'm very blessed. I'm, you know, I do my thing. There's my dog agreeing with us.
Yeah. He's very passionate about South Africa as well.
Yeah, he's very passionate. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah, but it's like, so, you know, there are a lot of people. My wife is a massive advocate about South Africa. She relishes in the fact that so many people come back to South Africa every year. And a lot of people come back here because the kids are in like high school and they can't deal with it. So they come back to get some discipline.
Ja, absolutely. All right, let's ook gou vinnig 'n breek vat. Net hierna gaan ons nog verder met die cousin homself gesels.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunia op Groot FM 95.5.
My cousin, Barry Hilton, met ons vanmôre. And very interesting. You just said now, you mentioned about how you're doing a talk currently. We spoke off air now about it as well. You're currently doing a talk about going through tough times and how you used humor to deal with it.
Yes, and you'd be surprised how many people do use humor every day. Have you ever gone, I'm sure one of your friends has passed away. Okay.
Yes.
Do you sit together after your friend has passed away and pick out all the negative things that happened in his life? Or do you sit and think about all the funny things that happened and how that person made you laugh?
Wow.
That's what you do. It's a natural thing that you do. So naturally, we want to feel lekker. We want to have good things. You know, my brother died with cancer. And I remember him phoning me up one day and saying to me, I got something to tell you. And I said, yo, tell me, you know, what is it? And just straight out like that, he said to me, I got cancer. And I went, wow, where did you get it? And he said to me, Cape Town, you plonker. That's where I live.
So,
until my brother died, every time we spoke,
sure,
we had humor involved in it. And I remember I was about to go on stage in Durban, and I got a phone call just before I went on stage, and it was from my brother from a hospice. This is a really true story. And my brother said to me, Barry, you've got to come see me in the next couple of days because I'm definitely going to die. And he said, what should I do? And I, without thinking, I said, commit fraud because the judge will give you 9 years.
But
and then we had a good laugh about that. And my brother said to me, there's one good thing about me going now. I said, what's that? He said, you've got to pay the bill. That's the truth. And then and after that, they called me on stage immediately after that. Ladies and gentlemen, Hilton. So I had to go out and I did 75 minutes of probably the best comedy I've ever done in my life to honor my brother.
Wow.
You know, I could have said, nah, I'm not doing this because my brother's just going to die and da da da. But I went out and I clapped it properly. And then after 75 minutes, I remember saying to the audience, I have to go because I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
And then I left. So humor got me through that. You know, I'm saying my brother passed away 3 days later. So, but that was one of the things, you know, humor got me through it. I'm being all emotional now because I remember my brother and I loved him very much.
Yeah, we're so sad to hear this, Barry.
You know, it happens. But now when I talk about my brother, I talk about the funny things he used to make me laugh with. Because my brother was aesthetically funny, but he was a very reserved funny. He would only be funny to a certain group of people, you know. And he was so clever, he would make me howl with laughter. And James, I really miss my brother. I really do. Sure. But what do? You know, you've got to carry on. You can't. So that's me, you know. My talk is like, it can be for anything from 30 minutes to 90 minutes, my talk, because I've got so many stories that I put in.
Yeah.
I put in this tragic story, and then I tell the people how I came around with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yeah.
But I think it's such a South African thing as well, Barry, and I think that's why you are... If you look in the mirror and you see Barry Hilton and you see the way we as South Africans deal with the difficult situations.
Absolutely. You know, it's the weirdest thing, though. Like, most people think beggars or car guards are some sort of tribal leaders. Have you noticed that? Because everybody gets out of their car and says, hey, chief.
We have respect.
But I'm saying, often I hear people say that, and the guy will look at the guy and say to you, I'm not a chief, bro. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. So, you see, so even with that, you know, the guy without inadvertently disrespected the guy, but he thought he wasn't.
Absolutely.
But then the car guard, he came back with a witty answer.
Yeah.
If I was a chief, I'd be in your car.
Yeah.
So, and you've got to think about that. This poor person is like on the bones of his flipping bum, you know, and he's still got time. Still got time to have a laugh.
Yeah. Barry,
I want to get to
because I don't think your brain ever switches off when it comes to writing jokes and so on. Let's get to that process because it was fascinating to me. Because when we attended one of your Talk Funny workshops, myself and Arnold Geertz, I was blown away by just the way you think about daily life and just how much you observe. How do you classify or how do you describe your comedy, way of comedy?
You know what? Like, I heard you asking how many jokes have been told. And
yes.
So I have three little formulas that I use on a daily basis. So I keep it simple, stupid. Okay. So I don't go out and write massive stories about nothing. Everything I talk about for the start is the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. It's something that's happened. So, and I write my jokes, excuse me, one bite at a time, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds. And then I put them all together. Strange enough, I don't write stuff down. I can't do that. I can't do that. But I put all this stuff in my head. And when I'm on stage, I'm able to mix and match it together, you know, as it goes along. So the writing process, in fact, the people, if you ask anybody there, they can go onto my my course. And I think I'm charging 249 rands. That's all I charge now. It's an online course. And it's talkfunny.co.za. And I've brought it down into a 30-minute talk session that gets to the nitty-gritty. And I've had people writing me the funniest jokes. They've taken my course and they come back and they say to me, hey, what's this joke? Jeez, that's funny, man. And I think most people try to be too funny instead of just being normal. Well, you know, you think about the biggest laugh you've ever had in your life. It's about something stupid that one of your friends said. Mm. You've been sitting with your wife, your girlfriend, whatever it is, and out of the blue, they say something, and it is hysterically funny. Okay? Don't tell somebody else, and they look at you like you've taken too many aspirins for the day. You know? But then in that moment, it is so funny. You just think, wow, that's genius. But it's not genius. It's just how our brains work all the time.
Yeah.
You know? My wife, for instance, she's a I love my wife, but she's a thick set girl, if you will. Okay. She's a strong girl. She could be prop forward, probably. You know,
my wife, is
an active member of Wayless, because when we got married, she did Wayless. But I joke about that, but I love my wife with everything I have. And, you know, people. Stupid. They'll ask me stupid questions. How did you meet your wife? Seriously? And I say, I met her in a strip club. She was a pole dancer. Then they look at her, and then I look at them, I say, look, mind you, it was a big pole. And that's how, but then she's so used to it now, she just leaves it. But she knows that I love her to pieces.
That's
so
amazing.
You got to laugh, eh?
Exactly. But I want to try and get it out of you. I don't know if I can. I know people will go and read up more. But give us the three stuff that you use. Okay. Can you give it to me?
Yes, of course. I use a pun. A pun is a play on words. I said to a guy once, give me a subject. He said, the queen. I said, the queen is not a subject.
Oh, my word.
And I use exaggeration. You take it in or out, fat, wide, small, big, long, whatever. And I'll say, I got so fat last year, which is now you're saying, I got so fat. So you can't take it, I got fat. You've got to say, I got so fat. And then that's when the exaggeration joke comes in. I got so fat, I fell over and I rocked myself to sleep trying to get back up. False logic.
Yeah.
Simple as that. People think you're turning left, but you turn right. Okay? So a false logic joke would be a guy goes to get a pair of shoes at the shoe shop, and he says the shoes are too tight. And the salesman says, can you try it with the tongue out? And he went,
oh, my word.
It's those three simple things that I do, and I just stitch them together, because too many people try and make long and elaborate jokes. Because if you think about it, a joke is 3 seconds, man, 4 seconds. It's just it's the build-up to the joke. That's the skill.
Timing.
The timing, y'all.
Yeah.
It's the build-up. It's 8:30.
Yeah. Half past eight. We're going to do the news now.
No, you said timing. You see, you missed it.
I missed it now, Barry.
I was like, Barry could just have been part of the team now and he would have just gone into traffic.
Yeah. All right. Net hierna gesels ons verder met the Kaza.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 95.5.
Barry Hilton, my cousin, hier bij ons op die breakfast. Nou, Barry, I just observed you now because we've got you on the screen here. And I just observed you while Sharunika was reading the news, and I can see the gears turning, Barry. I can see
you. Yeah, I see you. Eskom. Eskom is the only company in the world that asks their clients not to use their product.
Now, they saw
got so much diesel, they've actually got a subsidiary in Saudi Arabia.
Listen, Barry, let's get to it. Because, I mean, you've been you've gone overseas to the UK plenty of times. And let me tell you, I've been in Scotland as well for 2 years. Absolutely love it there. But for some reason, I've always wondered about this. Why have you never just chosen, said, you know what, I'm done with this. I could need me a list for load shedding. I'm going to pack my bags. Because you've got a big following in the UK as well. You can just as well go overseas, go to the UK, go settle down and have a very successful comedy career. Why have you never chosen that route?
You can't buy the sun.
Oh, wow.
You can't buy the beautiful nature of South Africans. You can't, you know, we know what's going on. We know what is happening here. There's been a few times that I thought, nah, I'm going to leave. And then you think, nah, can I leave? Look at these people, they're lekker. So, and I have fun here, and just, it's just beautiful. And you know, we still have a child in school. So I really wouldn't want to put my child into a school overseas. You know, here we can still beat them.
But I wanted to say now, because we've been having this whole conversation about finding the funny, and people are going through tough times. And obviously that happens all around the world. But I do have to say, I think you'll find less funny in other places in the world. South Africans make it easy.
You know, my one son is quite successful in Scotland. And every time he phones us, he says, I wish I could just convince my wife to come and live in South Africa. And I said to him, why? You focused there. You done it. He says to me, Daddy, I'm South African, bro. That's the way it is.
Yeah, so yeah.
You always hear, yes, we've got trouble. Yes, we've got some idiots, you know, who are causing nonsense on both sides, on the left and the right. But the majority of the people in South Africa are lekker. And we should actually sit and pause and think about that. When you get cross with somebody, you know, that's only one guy out of a million, you know. So just love South Africa for what it is, and let's just hope it comes right. But I think the time has come right now that the younger people who have the voting power are realizing, you know, that it's not all rosy with the political party we have, you know. So maybe let's hope for change. And then if it's sent, but you know, I think all politicians, all of them, are pathological liars, all of them, because they say things to suit themselves. But it's not only in South Africa, it's in the UK, you know. I mean, Joe Biden has been dead for 15 years. They're using a hologram.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, Barry, before we let you go, thank you so much for your time this morning.
You.
Because it's always good to chat to you and so on. But just myself and Sharnika was just wondering, if we do invite you for a braai, will you come?
Absolutely. Can't get better than a braai. No! Gaan ons braai.
Ladies and gentlemen, the cousin Barry Hilton. Barry, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it, eh?
Pleasure. Thank you.
Keep well. Thinking. Cheers, eh?
Bye-bye. Thank you so much, Barry.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.